Catholic priests are the focus of the current child sexual abuse scandal, but anyone with access to children, teachers, coaches, scout leaders, babysitters, family members, have been known to sexually abuse children. Past scandals, however, have led to a greater awareness of the problem. NPR's Brenda Wilson reports.
At the Bethlehem Christian Daycare Center in Baltimore, teacher Sharon Goetz is going over lesson number 5 of a week-long sexual prevention program for preschoolers.
One day, Becky and Sam were playing when their mom and dad came into the room and said, "We need to have an important talk."
Today's lesson is Remember, a review of everything they've already gone over.
Mom said, "We have to talk about rules we want you to know about your bodies, your private parts, touching, secrets, and telling."
The program is based on what is known about how predators target children and what makes them vulnerable. Younger children who don't know what is inappropriate and that they have a right to say no to an adult. Studies have shown that at least up to a fourth of the victims of sexual offenders were children who were under the ages of 6.
Dad said the rule is your body belongs to
you.
No one may touch it unless you say it's okay.
Alan Nemirovsky, a professor of mental health at the Community College of Baltimore County at Essex, developed the program. He says the idea is to give children enough information and skills to make it difficult for them to be approached. There's a vocabulary, so they can be sure children know that the private parts include the penis, breast, buttocks, and vagina. Nemirovsky says parents weren't that comfortable with the program when it was first developed in the 1980s, but now accept it, once assured that what is being taught is not sex education.
My generation had no names for those body parts, and our parents very often would not talk about that. But, I have found that children are much more comfortable with that, and it comes from the parents having a greater ease.
Repetition, Nemirovsky says, is important, particularly for preschoolers, and the lessons need to be reinforced by parents at home. So there's a book to help them review the material.
They can throw out a situation. What would you do if someone said they would give you a present if they could touch your private parts? This way the parent can check to see if the child has remembered the rule, which is to not accept the gift, and also to tell the parent that someone, you know, made this approach towards them.
Now I have some questions to ask you to see what good listeners you've been. Jake, what would you do if someone touched you in a way that made you feel uncomfortable?
No, I'm going to tell someone.
Remember, uncomfortable means that you're not sure if you feel good or you don't feel good about something. If you're uncomfortable, you should tell someone.
Just how effective these programs are isn't clear. Surveys and statistics put out by the United States Department of Justice indicate that child sexual abuse has actually declined in the last decade by more than 30%. Alan Nemirovsky says the research suggests that children can grasp one fundamental concept that protects them against abuse. Most perpetrators get away with it because they convince children not to tell anyone.
And so when children have learned that keeping secrets is inappropriate, then if someone requests that you keep a secret about touching private parts, that that's not right and that you need to disclose, children seem to have learned that. And that we have a significant amount of anecdotal evidence from parents that children will be real assertive when the parent says, "Well, you know, we're gonna have a surprise for Daddy's birthday," and the child will say, "Well, we don't keep secrets, Mommy, remember that."
Children, if someone tries to touch your private parts, you should say,
"No, and I'm going to tell someone."
But some experts see a contradiction in asking children to disclose what this society doesn't talk about openly. Debbie Rothman has taught sex education for 30 years and is the author of Sex and Sensibility, The Thinking Parent's Guide to Talking Sense About Sex. She says that despite some progress, there is still a reluctance to deal with sexuality in a healthy and open way, which virtually guarantees child sex abuse scandals will continue to happen.
Sex is everywhere and it's nowhere in children's lives. It's everywhere
in the environment that they're exposed to, but it is not present in the day-in, day-out discussions with the really real and really important adults in their lives. To me, the solution is we have to understand that it's okay to talk to kids. We have to learn how to talk to kids. We have to open up this subject, make it a safe subject, and then kids will come to us.
In the interest of protecting children, she says, the tendency is to tell them far too little too late.
Children start to ask questions about sex and reproduction when they are four. And by the time they're six, if they receive an open invitation, they're asking questions that will lead to a discussion of, for example, sexual intercourse. So they are capable of understanding a lot more than we ever give them credit for.
For older children, adolescents, and teenagers, sex education needs to be taught in the context of values. They are more likely to recognize abuse, Rothman says, if they understand that sex should only be part of a healthy relationship. Adults, and parents especially, she says, should insist upon having these discussions, even if kids don't want to.
They need to, in a way, use that with the children and say, look, I can see this is uncomfortable for you. It's not so easy for me either. But I cannot be a good parent unless we talk about certain things. And I also cannot give you the increasing freedom and responsibility for your own life that you're going to want unless I feel it's okay and safe for me to turn you over to yourself. So the more you're willing to talk to me and or listen to me, the more you're willing to let me know what's going on in your life to whatever degree you can, the more you allow me to educate you. Guess what? The sooner I'm going to be willing and able to let you grow up. But until then, I'm sorry.
Margarita Gurry, a Baltimore psychologist who has worked with victims of sexual abuse and runs a program to prevent violence, says the most recent scandal involving priests could serve as an opportunity for parents.
Any yucky thing that happens in a child's life is an opportunity for not only grace, you can hear the Catholic in me, but for kids to feel safe. So let's say it happens in the news. How we react to something that happens in the news might let the child know that we're receptive to them coming to tell us that something bad happened, whether it's to them or someone they know. Hey, and it's, oh, that poor kid, you know, in the news. Oh, how must they be feeling? How hard it must be to tell the parent? What would you do to make it easier? And sometimes it's even showing compassion, and maybe even compassion for the person being accused of doing it sometimes. Oh, how dreadful that they're that sick that they would do that and then keep a secret. How dreadful.
But Gurry advises parents against quizzing kids about whether they've been approached, since there's the possibility of implanting an idea that implicates innocent people. Aside from monitoring who your child is with and what they are doing, experts agree that the best protection against sexual predators is maintaining a good relationship with your children, keeping the lines of communication open, and letting them know that you support them no matter what. Brenda Wilson, NPR News, Washington.